We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, here we go. It is Friday afternoon, July the 19th. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the moon landing, so we'll be talking a little bit about that. Come on, this is going to be a great weekend. This weekend, we don't have a storm to worry about. Man, last weekend, we were just nonstop from Friday right on through the weekend, but we don't have any of that to worry about anymore. Tales of the Cocktail continue downtown. That is a crazy time. I mean, New Orleans has a lot of people in town. So anyway, we are going to have a free-for-all Friday, which is what we do on Fridays. We'll talk about some of the topics of the week and really, I guess, anything you want to talk about. And we have a few interesting people to talk to. All right, right now, crank it up. This is what you have been working for. Did you ever date anybody you worked with? And how did that work out? I mean, we all know those sayings relating to the problems of dating somebody at work. You know, you don't blank where you blank. You know, you don't do this where you don't dip your pen where you're, you know, I don't know. I forget some of the sayings, but you know those sayings about not dating somebody at work. But, you know, work is a really great place to meet people. I mean, to really get to know somebody. I mean, it's not like picking up somebody in a bar. It's not like meeting somebody like out in a setting like that because, you know, you do get to know this person. And sometimes working together, sometimes you don't have to work together, but sometimes you work with people and you become attracted to them because, well, not only chemistry, physical-wise, but also intellectually or there's some common bond between you two. But does it ever really work out? And is there anybody at work that you would currently like to date? I mean, don't name them, but is there anybody at work that you would currently like to date? We'll talk about that a little bit later. We've got a couple of people to talk to this afternoon, and a little unusual for us because we don't do many interviews. But, okay, we're going to set the record straight coming up this half hour on something I said on the air yesterday. I said that the Michael Bublé moment in the concert at the Smoothie King Center, when he went out into the audience and randomly selected this singer, and this girl just, I mean, she belted it out, had such great stage presence, it looked like a plant. We will set the record straight on that this half hour. Also, we'll talk to Ivan Neville, Aaron Neville's son, who was with the band Dumpsta Funk. They opened up for the Stones. Ivan is part of the first family of funk. And the Nevilles are also just so well respected by the rock and roll community. So we'll talk to him about 210. Later this hour, we'll also talk to a guy I met last night at 80s night. And he's playing there as part of the Tales of the Cocktail tonight at One Eye Jack's. But this guy was with the band Eagles of Death Metal. And he was there in Paris when the terrorist attack hit. So I want to just ask him about that. I mean, we didn't talk about it last night, but I said, hey, man, if you're willing to talk about this, I'd love to have you on the show. So we'll talk about that. He's also in the band Queens of the Stone Age. And I told him that when I had a conversation with Rick Springfield recently before his show in Biloxi, and I asked him about, newer music, that was one of the bands that Rick Springfield named. And he's also in a couple of other bands that are performing this afternoon and tonight as part of Tales of the Cocktail. So we'll talk to David Ketching a little bit later. And then at 3:10, we'll talk to the guy who is Dean Martin in The Rat Pack Is Back, because that show's happening this weekend. And I mean, it should be fun because, look, you know, it's not only going to be the music of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr., the core of The Rat Pack, that really just ruled Vegas and Hollywood in the 50s and 60s. They were smokers, they were drinkers, and so I'm assuming that, I've seen videos, so I'm assuming they will do it this weekend, tomorrow night, at the Frederick Segura Theater in Chalmette. They're going to have cigarettes in their hands, they'll be mock drinking, or maybe, I don't know, I'm going to ask the guy if they're really drinking. But anyway, the guy who is Dean Martin really does kind of look like Dean Martin and sounds very much like him. So it's going to be an interesting show. The Rat Pack is back tomorrow night. And that's going to be in Chalmette. So we'll talk to him and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Hey, this was another just crazy week of topics. And we may randomly select and revisit some of the topics that we've talked about this week. But tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of a man landing on the moon. Now, are you old enough to remember watching that live? I remember that very well. I was with some family friends in Gulfport. And my memory is it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And we all watched that together. And it just was an unbelievable moment. I mean, I was pretty young, but it was really an incredible moment. And if you weren't born yet, what do you think when you see video of an American man stepping onto the surface of the moon? Does that mean anything to you? And should we go back to the moon? Do you think we really went? You know, there's long been conspiracy theories that we never went to the moon. Somebody brought this up on the show the other day, but the movie Capricorn 1 is a movie about how NASA staged the moon landing in the desert somewhere out west. They took an area that they thought, you know, would look enough like the moon, and we really did not go to the moon. And there are people who believe that. So, you know, crazy conspiracies is nothing new. Now, I wasn't there when they landed. But from what I've seen, I think we landed on the moon. I'm pretty convinced that we went there. And this was just really such an amazing feat for humankind. The idea of leaving the Earth's orbit with the gravitational pull, escaping that, flying to the moon, and then hooking up with the gravitational pull of the moon. I mean, to figure all this stuff out, I mean, you got to be a genius. I mean, you got to be a rocket scientist. You know how some people say this isn't rocket science? Well, this is rocket science. And people figured all this out. But I mean, imagine the math equations that go into all of this. And then literally landing on the moon. And, you know, we didn't know how that was going to go. We weren't sure they were going to make it. We weren't sure they were going to be able to take off from the moon. I mean, they could have been there for the rest of their lives. So we weren't not sure how that was going to happen. I think that was part of the big drama. And when you think back 50 years ago, 1969, you know, things were a lot different then. We didn't know as much as we know now, obviously. So there was, I think there was so much that was unknown in 1969, 50 years ago, that was part of the big suspense. We really did not know how that was going to turn out. And everything worked almost flawlessly. And everything went well until Apollo 13, and Ronnie Howard made the movie about that, and we know how tense that was. And those guys almost didn't make it back. From Madisonville, Blaze, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, good. As always, enjoying the show, but there was a lot of controversy. Armstrong was not the first person on the moon walking, if you think about it, because there were people that were saying that Michael Jackson moonwalked first, and there were people saying that there is actually no moon either.
But see, I thought didn't Michael Jackson moonwalk after Neil Armstrong walked on the moon?
That's where the controversy comes in. Yeah. That's why. Yeah. And so then some people are saying there's really no moon. That's all a farce, that there's really no moon. And we know that moon affects lunar tides. Yeah. So when I hear there's moon landrew as well. But when I hear people say there's no moon, you know, it's like...
Well, and then there's the activity of driving around in a car. Some people say there's no moon there, but we know there is. I've seen the moon. I've shot
right,
the moon.
It's called a half press. When you lived in Bizenay Plaza, and we used to do that in that neighborhood, we would press hands.
I know.
Enjoy your show, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Blaze. I appreciate your contribution. And, you know, I remember how cool it was when we were younger, and girls would moon you. I mean, it was, you know, when a guy would moon you, I mean, I didn't care about that, but man, if a crowd of girls came by and they mooned you, that was sweet. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon about anything we're talking about, remember, it's free for all Friday, so we're going to act like it's Friday, heading into the weekend. Our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Also this week, we talked about the Rolling Stones, and then not long after that, it was Michael Bublé in town. So just quite a diverse range of music many of us were exposed to this week. This was one of the songs the Stones played. This was one of their encore songs. This and the last one was Satisfaction. I wish I wouldn't have known. I mean, I saw the set list in advance, and I wish I wouldn't have known it was coming up because I would have liked to have been surprised. And that's one of the reasons that I didn't tell you on the air, because I didn't want to share that with you, because I wanted you to be surprised at what the last two songs would be. But this was actually a politically motivated song by the Rolling Stones. This was back when the Vietnam War was raging. There were riots on college campuses. There was this unrest in America, this displeasure in the government and the direction of America. And the shelter, I mean, the storm that Mick Jagger singing Seeking Shelter from, the storm was everything that was going on in America. And think about the parallels to America today. I mean, we're not having riots and things like that, but there's a lot of unrest here. This was what it was all about, seeking shelter from the storm. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're coming right back on WWL. This is Michael Bublé singing that classic Nat King Cole hit, Unforgettable. So there was a moment in the concert when Michael Bublé the other night at the Smoothie King Center walked down the catwalk runway, came to the end, and he went out into the audience and randomly selected a singer. Well, the singer that he selected was so awesome, I thought, this has got to be a plant. And she had so much stage presence and such presence of mind to know when to close her eyes when she was singing and leaning up against Michael Bublé that I thought, oh, I mean, I'm okay with it, but this has to be a plant. Well, I got a call today from Emily Louise Nelson, who joins us now on WWL. Emily was that singer. Emily, welcome to our show.
Hi there. I have goosebumps just reliving the moment, and it actually makes me tear up because it was such an unforgettable moment. Yes, that was me, and it was not staged at all.
So you just happened to be there, and of all the people, he picked you.
Yes, he did.
Okay, what about the joke about it's your unbirthday? And then he said, "Well, do you know?" And he said, "Well, what is that?" And you said, "Don't you see Alice in Wonderland?" He goes, "Well, I don't do drugs."
Right, right. So I actually have been. This is my fourth concert. He was my first concert that I ever saw at an arena, and the last time I was there, as a birthday present, my mom got me floor seats. I went to the front, and I had a baby onesie. He just had a child, and I said, I'm a singer. It's my birthday. Please let me sing. Well, he had the whole arena sing me happy birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
And then I did a little riff at the end, and that was kind of it. And this time around, my mom said, okay, we got to do it again. I was like, okay, Mom, but it's not my birthday, and I'm not going to say that it is my birthday. That's not who I am. So I said, okay, we can say it's my unbirthday. You know, we're celebrating my unbirthday, and I happened to be someone in the crowd that I think he kind of recognized me from last time. Uh-huh. I had the same scarf on, and he said, oh, I think you want to sing. And I, at that moment, just, it was a dream from there on.
Well, I'm really impressed because, you know, I didn't want it to be a plant, but it seems so perfect. And, I mean, you're very attractive. I mean, I would have picked you out of the crowd. Whether you can sing or not, I'd have picked you out of the crowd. So he picks you and you sing it. You just had such great stage presence and presence of mind to know when to close your eyes and you're leaning up against him. And I just, oh, man, come on. They've been rehearsing this for a week.
Well, if I was rehearsing it and if it was staged, I'd be on tour with him right now.
Oh. Well, I guess that's true.
I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the girl that shows up in Nashville doing this, right?
Right. I'm sitting at a gas station, so definitely not on tour. But hey, if he wants to bring me on his Christmas program, I'm all about it.
Well, Emily, I appreciate you setting the record straight here. Let's just do this for just a moment. I want you to take a moment because you're a very good singer, and I want you to sing part of Unforgettable like you did with Michael Bublé. I want you to sing it right here live on the show.
I would love to.
Okay.
Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, the near or far. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Oh, very, very good. That was awesome.
You.
Yeah, and you did a great job. You did a great job that night. And you know, Emily, look, if you were not going to lie that it, about it not being your birthday. If you weren't going to lie about that, then you wouldn't lie about you know not being a plant. So I'm going to have faith in your answer.
And now, you can come see me sing around the city too. I sing with a couple great bands.
Well, tell me who you sing with.
I sing with Dap Band, and I've been singing with D Play as well. Dap Band, y'all probably heard them around, and they've sung at in Crew d'Etat Parade, and I look forward to doing a lot more things with both groups.
Dap Band, what was the other band? Dap Band, or what was the other one?
D Play. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So they're great, great groups. I'm so blessed and honored to be with these guys. I've never had voice lessons, don't know anything about music, and they've taken me under my wing. And I really appreciate it. And if y'all want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram at emilylouise.music.
You know, we may have discovered a new star here in New Orleans. Let's see how this goes.
I would love it. I would love to be there for y'all.
Emily Louise Nelson, thank you for being with us. And I'm glad we set the record straight on that. I feel better about the whole Michael Bublé show because I was a little uncomfortable with the idea that might have been a plant because I wanted it to all be real.
And I'm standing at 4 feet tall and 11 inches. So it's a little girl with a big pipe, so don't be shocked.
All right, Emily. Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
Okay. So we set the record straight on that, and I do feel better. Amanda Shaw went with me to the concert, and we're both going, oh, come on. This is a plant. They've been working on this. And, you know, and Amanda knows a lot about the business, and we're just conversing that this is a plant. So I'm glad we were able to set the record straight here. Okay, so tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, which, in my opinion, was a GOAT event, greatest of all time. That's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Was landing the man on the moon a GOAT event? Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. And when we come back, we'll talk about, you know, where you were. Do you remember where you were? And if you're a millennial or if you weren't born to where you could have seen this, if you're born much after the moon landing, then when you see that, when you hear about it, what do you think? How does it make you feel? Does it mean anything to you? I'm Scoot. We'll be back. Yeah, I honestly believe we put a man on the moon, although there are those who are skeptical. It was one of those GOAT events, greatest of all time humankind events. I'd love to talk to you if you're a millennial or Gen X, Gen Y, you're younger, you were not born, you were not watching like I was as a young person when we landed on the moon. I'd like to know what it means to you. And do you think it's worth it to go back? I mean, it's quite a dramatic feat. But I don't think it will ever be as dramatic as it was then, 50 years ago in 1969, because we didn't know if it was going to work. We thought it would, but, you know, we watched with the idea that what if they crash when they land on the moon? What if they can't lift off the moon? There was a big tense moment when you were waiting to see if the capsule part of the lunar landing could jettison from the pod that it was sitting on the surface of the moon, and then had to link up with the space capsule orbiting the Earth. So does it mean anything to you, and should we go back? If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And from Morgan City, Frank, welcome to WWL.
Man, how you doing, dude?
I'm good, Frank.
Thank you for taking my call. Look here, buddy. I said, man, I can see why you were blown away with that voice. Man.
Oh, Emily.
Emily. She just sang one little portion of that song, brought tears to my eyes, man.
Well, you can imagine when somebody who can sing like that, when, you know, you're watching Michael Bublé on stage and he picks somebody out of the audience and it's her and she's attractive and she's got stage presence and she's got a hell of a voice, and you see them singing a duet together, you think, oh, man, this has got to be set up. But she set the record straight. She was just somebody he picked out of the audience.
Wow. I mean, to tell you, man, she's going to go places. So she seemed like a very humble person. And, you know, just one of those things that by chance that something good can happen in somebody's life and that benefit everybody else. Because with a voice like that, that's a great benefit for a lot of people. It's uplifting.
Frank, I appreciate you sharing the fact that you felt something. You felt feeling from her, and I appreciate that, Frank.
I did. I'm glad you put her on.
All right, you have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
All right. And from Hammond, Louie, you're on WWL.
How are you, Scoot?
I'm good, Louie.
I wanted to share a story, your story about remembering being at your grandparents' house to watch the moon landing.
Family friends in Gulfport. But, yeah, where were you?
Yes, family friends. Well, it was 1969, and, you know, there were terrible things happening in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I come from a French family. My father sent my brother and I to visit our grandmother in France. And we became the center of attention during the moon landing because we were the Americans. And it was just a fantastic experience to be abroad and one of the millions of people watching this event on television. It made America a star.
It was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, as I remember here in America. So it had to be, you know, afternoon, late morning, afternoon in France.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, everything stopped. Everybody was focusing on this one event. But the other thing I wanted to share is before I came here to Louisiana, after marrying a woman from Hammond, I had grown up in Long Island. And I want everybody to know on Long Island, on the North Shore, we still have a Cradle of Aviation Museum. You know, the lunar module was built by Grumman. Grumman has since pretty much pulled out of Long Island. Mm-hmm. But in the Cradle of Aviation Museum, you will find one of the original LEMs, lunar modules, untouched and straight from the manufacturing floor. And it's worth going to see it just to understand how big it is and also how fragile it looks, you know, that they were able to accomplish this with something that looked like a spider.
Well, and when you talk about how big it is, it ain't that big.
No, if it's three stories, it's a lot. And that's with both stages.
Yeah.
You know, and they got two people in it. I have in mind some of the boats on Lake Pontchartrain. Think in terms of a boat that barely handles two fishermen, you know?
Yeah. It was an amazing feat. Louis, I appreciate you sharing that with us. All right, if you're on hold, whether you want to talk about Emily or something else, it's Free for All Friday on the show. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back with more of your comments. We're remembering, since it happened 50 years ago tomorrow, we're remembering man landing on the moon. That was one great human event. You know, gazing up at the moon, it being so mysterious. And I guess in some ways, the romantic mystery of the moon dissolved somewhat when Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon, because it was as we conquered it. And before that, it had been just such this mysterious, romantic, illuminated figure in the sky. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk to a guy who was in the band Eagles of Death Metal during the terrorist attack in France. I met him last night at 80s night. And he's in town. He's playing with a band in town for Tales of the Cocktail. So we'll talk to him when we come back. I'm Scoot on WWL. It's a Duran Duran cover, but this is the band Eagles of Death Metal. They were the American rock band that was in that theater when the terrorist attack took place. David Ketching joins us live on WWL. David, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing?
I'm great. It was nice meeting you, and I appreciate you taking a moment with us. Tell us what it was like, not only to be in a rock band, but to be an American in that setting and to be the target of that terrorist attack.
You know, it wasn't actually being an American. It was being a human, and everybody was together on that. And obviously, it was the worst night of my life and terrifying for everyone involved.
Yeah. Were there moments when you thought, you know, because something like that happens and you don't know what might happen next, that it could have been the beginning of more to come? So I'm assuming that you feared for your life.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are people being killed with bombs and guns. Of course, I was scared for my life. Yeah.
How long did it take you and the band to recover and get back to feeling like you could perform again?
Well, U2 was kind enough to invite us to play Paris a few weeks later, and I don't think I would have been prepared for that had I not been with U2, because they made it very safe and cool, and they shared their stage with us and made it a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. But it took a while to be back to normal playing.
Well, I also know that you're with a band that, in my conversation with Rick Springfield before his show in Biloxi, I asked Rick, hey, what do you like, you know, from relatively new bands? And he said, Queens of the Stone Age, and you've been part of that band as well. And I thought that was a big compliment coming from Rick Springfield.
Oh, yeah. I've met Rick a bunch of times. He did the Sound City Singers tour with Dave Grohl and Chris Goss and all my friends. And we got to hang out a few times. He's a great guy, great songwriter, great actor, great guy.
Okay, so now you're with Mojave Lords, and the other band was King James and...
The Special Man.
The Special Man.
They're a local band from around here, and there's another great band on the bill, locals, called Ghouls. And I started a mezcal company with my partner in Mojave Lords, Bingo Ritchie. And tonight, Rancho de la Luna Mezcal and New Orleans Ice Cream, our good friend Adrian Simpson, we're hosting an event at One Eye Jack's, one of our favorite venues in town. And we have Mojave Lords are going to be playing at 9:30. King James is playing at 10:30. Ghouls at 11:30. And we have a great burlesque dancer, our friend Gogo McGregor.
Yes.
He's going to be topping the night off. So a lot of great friends. I lived here for a long time. I had a restaurant in New Orleans in the 90s. And we're at Butcher right now having lunch with our friend Rick Slave, who works here, and Max the chef. And, yeah, this is my home. I just live all over the place.
Well, Dave, I just wanted you to share the experience with us because that had to be just a profound moment in your life. And for anybody who's been to a concert, we could all relate to what it would be like to be at a concert and to suddenly have a terrorist attack take over the show.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't ever happen again because so many very, very cool, innocent people were taken from us that night. And everybody was just there to have a good time. I don't really even think that the people that perpetrated it were even, I don't even think they knew what they were doing. You know, they thought they were doing something that was going to help some cause and did absolutely nothing. It was just full out murder for no reason.
Yeah. David, I appreciate you taking time to talk with us. Good luck with the event tonight at One Eye Jack's and have a great time while you're in New Orleans as part of Tales of the Cocktail.
Oh, thanks so much. I hope I see you down there tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely try to make it, David.
It's going to be a great show. It'll be really fun, and hopefully I'll see you there.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
All right. I've got a text here that says, who was the person singing the last bumper song before the break? The Fly Me to the Moon song? That was Rod Stewart. From New Orleans, Joan, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
About Emily?
Yeah.
It was so refreshing to hear a young person who has such talent, and she's so honest. I thought she looked like a superstar. But the honesty and the grace that she handles herself with was just wonderful.
But it was so amazing, though, that I couldn't help but think, oh, this was planned, and it wasn't.
I mean, we hear so many awful stories. Russian. That she's so honest, but the talent was unbelievable.
Yeah, the song was unforgettable. The talent was unbelievable.
Yes, and her reaction on stage was so professional. And I mean, I like Michael Bublé more now since I saw him with Emily because he was adorable with her. I mean, they were just wonderful.
One of the big things about Michael Bublé is his personality and how he bonds with the audience. And he really got into New Orleans and just talked about local stuff. And he's very, very witty.
Well, they were adorable. They just bonded.
Yeah.
And they just looked like two nice people. And then so much ugly stuff in the world.
That's right.
Wasn't that refreshing?
Joan, I agree with you. I appreciate the call. I hope you have a great weekend. Okay, this is a song from Mojave Lords, the band that this guy's now part of, David Ketching. And this is called Sweet Little Down and Out. They're going to be performing at One Eye Jack's tonight. But, man, what an interesting story to hear about that guy being there as part of the Eagles of Death Metal when the terrorist attack hit Paris. I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're coming right back on this Friday afternoon on WWL. Here is Buster Poindexter with our forecast for the entire weekend. And wow, man, like New York and Philadelphia and D.C. and Boston, yes, they are going to be baking. Now, you know what it feels like. I mean, they're going to have like a heat index in like 110 or something like that. Yes, it is going to be hot, hot, hot throughout much of the country, including here this weekend. Yeah, sometimes you can just give the forecast with a song. From Covington, Warren, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Warren.
Hi, thank you.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Thank you. So I wanted to say that personally I was not able to witness the moon landing until a lot later, until we were able to comprehend what had actually happened. But I think that it was a great achievement. And it it's always been speculated how they would go to the moon. I think the oldest time they, quote-unquote, attempted or to show it to the public was in an old 1901 film called Voyage de la Lune, or Trip to the Moon, where they send a bunch of astronomers into space. And it's kind of comical, yet it's a very early sci-fi, and I think that it's a very interesting thing.
Warren, how old are you, Warren?
I am 12 years old.
I mean, are you like this little genius? I mean, you sound like a genius.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. So you knew about the movie. So obviously you weren't born when this happened. So as a 12-year-old, tell me how you assess the importance of landing on the moon 50 years ago.
Well, I think that when we all saw it, that we knew that we were told that it was very important. That,
yes,
because nothing had happened before.
Right.
And that was really all. They didn't tell us a lot about the whole story, because they don't really tend to do that. They didn't tell us about the whole space race. All they did was that they told us that it was a big achievement and stuff like that. And we did watch footage of it.
Are you interested? Are you interested in space travel?
Yeah, I'm a little interested in space travel. Yes.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Because it sounds like you're pretty smart.
Most likely a paleontologist.
Really? That's interesting. I mean, you're smart enough not to want to get into politics, right?
No, I would not really like to get into politics.
Yeah, good. Good for you. Although we need people like you, Warren. We need guys like you to get into politics, but good luck with your career. Hey, listen, Warren, I want to invite you to call our show anytime. You're a breath of fresh air.
All right, thank you.
All right, I appreciate you calling.
All right, bye.
Okay. Warren, guy's 12 years old. Knew how to pronounce that movie in that French movie. I mean, really, see, you know, there are a lot of really great kids out there. I'm Scoot. When we come back, we'll talk to one of the members of the first family of funk in New Orleans, the Nevilles. We'll talk to Ivan Neville. Coming up next, I'll get to more of your calls too on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.